إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، I welcome all of you in our class of Aqeedah. After finishing one chapter, alhamdulillah, it took us a while, alhamdulillah, a couple of months. Before we move on to the next chapter, we're going to do some muraja'ah, some reviewing and revision. Because the purpose is not just to finish the book, but the purpose is to gain something from the book. What do we benefit? It's not just to read, but this is, these classes are oriented for us, put in place so that we can benefit, and we put them to practice. We apply what we learn in our daily lives. It's not just me talking, you're listening, and we go home and we say alhamdulillah, we finish that good book. Okay, give me a good thing from that book. Oh, let me get the book. Now, we need that in something, at least. I'm not saying that everything, we're going to memorize everything. We're not. Who amongst us is Bukhari? Or Abu Zura, or other than them. Those people, they used to hear something and it sticks to them. But we need to work hard. Struggle. Like I remind you, brothers and sisters, this class is as only a spark, you know, but you still need to do the work. Alright? So just this is only to put us on the path. Now when we go home, we have to study this topic. Anything that we do in here, put more hours at home, together with your family, couple of brothers, get together, alhamdulillah, whether in somebody's house, over some tea or coffee, but you're reading Kitab al-Tawheed, you're reviewing this chapter, and this brother says, look, this is my notes, oh, here is my notes, and you complete one another. Something you don't understand, you bring it, whether in the next class, or when you see me, for example, in any time, akhi, look, in the class of Aqeedah, the sheikh said this, but he wasn't clear to us. Because sometimes when you be paying, we may not pay attention all time, for all hour. We human being. Maybe you've been thinking about something at that moment and you couldn't see the point, even though that we read it, but to you now, what does it mean? So I can go back to the book myself, or can tell you, no, it's not like that, or no, you're right, akhi, alhamdulillah, that's what it is. And this how, especially in this matter of Aqeedah. So that's why I choose, inshallah, whenever we finish a chapter, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to review. Because once again, the importance matter in this is not for us to finish the book, but whenever we finish a chapter, let us see how much we gain from that chapter, so that we can put it to practice, especially the Aqeedah, the creed. Tayyib. Of course, we're reviewing, I'm going to ask you questions, and then I'm going to listen to you, inshallah ta'ala. First of all, what book are we reading from? Naam. Aqeedah al-Salaf, Ashab al-Hadith. Ahsant. Aqeedah al-Salaf, Ashab al-Hadith. The creed of the Salaf, the people of Hadith. Liman? Man al-Mu'allif? Man al-Mu'allif? أحسنت الإمام أبي عثمان إسماعيل بن عبد الرحمن الصابوني الإمام أبي عثمان إسماعيل بن عبد الرحمن الصابوني رحمه الله. Who was أبي عثمان إسماعيل بن عبد الرحمن الصابوني؟ Who was he? Anybody know? What do you know about this man? Abi Uthman, Ismail, Ibn Abdul Rahman, As-Sabuni. No.
His father was an imam in the village where he
Naam, ahsant.
And he died, and he started teaching very young.
Naam. Al-Imam al-Sabuni, in brief, is one of the great ulama of al-Salaf, of the past. Okay? He's one of the great ulama. Known with his aqidah and his adherence to the way of the Salaf. The way of the companions, the tabi'un, the tabi'a tabi'un. And that's why we are reading from his book. And that's why the noble sheikh, I don't want to mention his name because that's the next question, our noble sheikh who's explaining it, he's explained this book. If this man was not upon the aqidah of the Salaf, our sheikh won't teach. Because the ulama of the Salaf who are upon the Sunnah, they don't teach the books of the people of innovation. They warn against them. They warn the people, don't listen to this one, don't read the books of such and such, because they are not upon the aqidah of the Salaf. Tayyib. Are we just reading from this book, or are we reading from another book? Which one? Actually, the answer was not totally correct, Abdullah. We're not reading from aqidah of the Salaf.
We're reading from the book, the Shah.
We're أحسنت وهو كذلك بارك الله فيك نحن نقرأ من هذا الكتاب القيم شرح عقيدة السلف أصحاب الحديث شرح فضيلة الشيخ الوالد العلامة ربيع بن هادي المدخلي أبي محمد حفظه الله نعم that's what we're reading from actually we're reading from the explanation of the creed of the Salaf The Creed of the Salaf, أصحاب الحديث هذا الكتاب مؤلفه الإمام العلامة أبي عثمان إسماعيل بن عبد الرحمن الصابوني رحمه الله But the explanation, الشرح of our noble شيخ العلامة أبي محمد ربيع بن هادي عمير المدخلي حفظه الله تعالى نعم أحسنت عبد الله بارك الله فيك طيب Of course, I'm not going to ask you when did we start this book. It's not for great benefit. Tayyib, what can you tell me about this book? What can you tell me about this book? Aqidat al-Salaf itself. Not the Sharh, Aqidat al-Salaf. Naam Mahmoud.
This book was written by the Imam when he was approached by some people who told him to make it clear.
أحسنت وهو كذلك that the Imam al-Sabuni he compiled this work which now is in the form of a book والحمدلله based on a request from the people in his time in his time that they want him to compile and write for them the aqidah of the Salaf what is the creed of the Salaf what is the creed that the companions were upon the tabi'un, atba'a tabi'un those best generations what was the name of that area Because he was traveling, right? Imam al-Sabuni, he was going where?
He said he was going to the grave of the Prophet, so something, but what he
Actually,
meant by
masjid,
it,
ahsant.
What he meant by it was
nah.
to the masjid.
Ahsant. He was going on a journey, because he's not from Medina. He's not from the Medina, and he was going on a journey to visit the masjid of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, even though him, as our brother Hassan Hafidhullah mentioned, even though in the text, this great Imam who was upon the Aqidah of the Salaf, even though he mentioned that he was going to visit the grave of the Prophet ﷺ, but Shaykh Rabi Hafidhullah Ta'ala, he says, since this Shaykh is a Salafi Shaykh, he was upon the Aqidah Salafiyya, then we will say that he made a mistake in the wordings, but what he intended, wallahu a'lam, is that to visit the masjid. And once you're in a masjid, you can visit the grave. It's right there. Once person made it to Medina, but the purpose, because it is not from the sunnah, to travel to visit the grave, even if it's the grave of the Prophet ﷺ. Now, like the Sufis, they travel from countries to visit the grave. Like Tablighis, for instance. They, from all over the world, they go to this place in India or in Bangladesh. Is it in Bangladesh or India? The big Ijtima. Bangladesh. And there is so many graves over there that they go and visit and this and that. So it is not from the sunnah to make the intention to visit a grave. Even keep in mind, the ulama, they said, you can visit any grave next to you. Any grave. Because the Prophet ﷺ says, visit the graves. And he tells us the reason why we visit the graves. Because they remind you of the hereafter. Because they remind you of the hereafter. Any grave close to you, you don't have to travel. Just go to any grave and look at those people who are buried under the ground. And you said to yourself, that could be me. And he will be me. Because Allah says, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every soul shall taste death. So we just don't know when we're going to leave. But that's why the most important thing, when you go to the grave, that visit, 5 minutes, 10 more or less, set us in order. If you think you want to do this, or you want to achieve this and this and that, or especially if somebody is having so many plans for the dunya, that's gonna, in the midst of that, he's gonna compromise his religion, go visit a grave. Go in a graveyard and spend a moment. And then you were like, SubhanAllah, really? Is it worth it? Is it worth it for me to run after this money? I'm not going to be in the masjid. I'm going to miss the salat. I'm going to miss the classes. No more Quran. My family is not going to see me. I'm going to leave out in the night and come back when they sleep. And on top of that, I'm going to be dealing with people that I don't supposed to be around. No benefit from. Is it really worth it, Abu Muhammad? Is this really worth it, Abdullah? Say that to yourself. Ask yourself, is it worth it, me? And how much I'm going to get in this trip? How much? And even if it's millions and billions. But anything that's going to take me away from that which Allah created me? No way, because death is not going to wait for me. And that's it. And then you say, look man, my job is enough. Now you can find somebody else. I'm not going with you nowhere, man. No, you go ahead. Can't just, it's different. This doesn't mean that making money or business or trade is haram. No, it's halal, it's permissible. But if it's going to take you away from the remembrance of Allah, that's the big problem. That's when it's a big problem. We become a problem. Because we're created to, for what? To worship Allah. So anything we do in this dunya has to go along with this one. I gotta worship Allah the way that Allah command me to worship Him. Anything else, you have to fit with this one. Not to fit the ibadah with the other things. SubhanAllah. One of the Salaf from Tabi'een. He says, Kanu. When the Tabi'een, they say Kanu, usually they refer to the Sahaba. Or they may refer to those Tabi'een who are older than them. They senior than them in knowledge and the like. But usually they refer to the Sahaba. They said, Kanu yani Sahaba, they used to give to the dunya the time that is left over from their akhirah. That's what they give the dunya. Whatever left, the time left from the akhirah, they give it the dunya. Meaning, most of their time is towards the akhirah. Then a little bit of their time is towards the dunya. He says, but you, now this man is talking people in this right, sahaba, they just died a couple years ago. And they're so close to, and he says, but you give to the akhirah what is left over from your time to the dunya. And that's, look at us, how much time we give to the dunya, to the akhirah. Look at it. And if one of us come and pray every salat in his time for one day and sit in a class and read like 3 pages of Quran, we think like he's Shaykh al-Islam. Allahu Akbar, righteous brother. Always in the masjid. Yeah, hey, read the biography of the Sahaba we used to do. They used to put what is left from their time. You know the leftover is always a little bit. You know what I'm saying? The leftover from a big pot of whatever it is a little bit. That's what they used to give for the dunya. As the Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned about them, he says, their bodies on earth, but their hearts are planted in the akhirah. Their minds and soul is in the akhirah. Yes, they walk on earth, their bodies on earth, but where is their soul and heart? Attached to the akhirah, the hereafter, to the jannah. So keep your eyes on the prize. Paradise. That's the prize we have to keep our eyes on, man. Because if you get looking at something else, hey now. So it's very important to understand this point. That alhamdulillah, Allah made it permissible for us to seek livelihood, to make money. You can be rich. This is not against Islam. But not, you know, to the extent that you neglect the reason why you, there is your responsibilities, your obligations, your family, men running after money and his children and have no time to educate his children, no time for his wife, no time. Children grow up, don't know him because he's busy with his dunya. And then they grow up crooked, illa man rahim Allah. He's like, look, man, don't blame me. I was working hard for you guys. You live in the best house, the best cars, the best food. I took you everywhere, vacation. Yeah, but he didn't give them the real food. The food for the heart and the soul, the aqidah. To spend quality time with them, tell them, son, look, I could be running all over, get all that money like other people, haram, halal, but no. Son, daughter, alhamdulillah, we live in a smaller house. We could live in a bigger one. But no, what matters to us is to be obedient to Allah. We can live in this smaller house, alhamdulillah. We eat whatever we can. Yes, we're not driving the best car. Alhamdulillah, we don't have a lot of money and savings. But look, what matters to us, that we spend a lot of time together. We go to the masjid, we are studying, we are learning, we are reading. We get in the things that help us in Yawm al-Qiyamah, because we're not going to take these houses with us. We're not going to take this food with us. We're not going to take the money with us. Have you ever seen somebody when they died, U-Haul truck following them to the graveyard? And you're like, what are U-Haul truck is doing? No, this is the man's property. Everything. His houses, cars, everything. He requests to be buried. Yeah, right. The inheritors, they will never budge. It's like, man, ain't nothing going down. That man is dead. He's going down to that hole by himself, right or wrong. Not even his beautiful jacket can go with him. No, somebody else is going to get it. And what's going to go with him, Abdullah?
His deeds.
That's it. You think one of his brothers is going to go with him? One of his friends is going to go with him? He used to spend a lot of time with them. Salat is people are praying in the masjid, but he's spending time with some friends. You think they're going to go with him? He says, look, it's going to be dark over there. He's alone. Let one of us go with him. No one will go with you, Ya Abdullah. You're going there alone. And you think you're going alone. You're not going alone. You're going with your deeds. Whether it be good or bad. Now, tayyib, barakallahu feekum. So this, Why the people ask him? Why? Next question. Why they ask this sheikh, this allama? They ask the people, that town, yes, that town, once again, that area, what is it called? We didn't mention. It was Ahmed Tabristan, or Bilad Jailan. So why these people, they ask him? Why they ask this main sheikh to write the aqidah for them, aqidah of the Salaf? Why? Anybody remember? No.
I think they asked them to take back to their people, so mm-hmm. they could take to their people what it was.
Mm-hmm. No. No, Muhammad. Ahsant. It was innovations. What else, Mahmoud?
Yeah, the reason that there was people who were accusing him of being on the. They had a doubt on.
About him? La. No. Because in his time, the people, they were in need for this aqidah. Because it was false creeds spread, like Muhammad says, Allah khair, bid'ah, innovations, falsehood all over. Jahmiyya, Mu'tazila, Sufiyya, name it. And that's what the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they do. Because you know, there is always this sirah between the haqq and the batil. Alright? A sirah. What is sirah in English? Confrontation. Or
competition.
No, there is a better word in English. These. Huh?
Colliding?
Yeah, they collide together. There's always the falsehood and the truth, they coexist together. Alright? And this is the sunnah of Allah. Okay? As Allah, if Allah wish, He will make everybody upon guidance. Allah can do that. Allah have the ability to do that, subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah, and we have an ayah in the Quran. وَلُوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ لَهَدَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. If your Lord will, He will guide everybody, make everybody upon the correct aqidah. But how? But the people have to be differentiated, you know? Who's upon the haqq and who's following his desires? Who's making efforts? Okay? Even when you make a mistake, you're human. But the most important is being able to accept the haqq and always say to yourself, look, man, none of these people going to help me. The only thing that's going to help me is the truth. And where is the truth? The truth is in the book of Allah. And in the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the understanding of the best of this ummah. That's the truth right there. Why? Because this is the deen of Allah. This deen is not from this country or the other country. For some people come and say, look, we from here, because we're from this country, we have the truth. Now, because we have more people, we have more money. No. The truth is in the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Naam, so this great alim, likewise, there is so many examples. So many examples of our noble scholars of the past that they did these things too. They wrote books of Aqidah. Books of Aqidah. Imam Ahmad, Hissan, Ibn Khuzayma, many Lalikai, many ulama. Sahih al-Bukhari, we have chapters of Aqidah, Kitab al-Tawheed, wa Kitab al-Iman, wa wal-Rudud, refuting Imam Sahih Muslim. Sunan Abu Dawood, these are books, hadith, but they have chapters of Aqidah. Shows the Aqidah and chapters that refute Ahlul Bid'ah wa Dalal. Naam. From that is like Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. Most of his books of Aqidah, most of them, and the books of refutations, is requests from people, or questions. He received questions, he write a book. That's the answer in a book. Allahu Akbar. Or somebody come and complain to him about something, the Shaykh make it clear. Or somebody come and request from Shaykh al-Islam, Taymiyyah, please, like this man from Wasit. He was a judge in Wasit. He's in Iraq. It's between Basra and Baghdad. That's why that book of Aqidah was called Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyyah. Al-Wasitiyyah because of this city called Wasit. See? Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyyah, because there is a story behind it. This was a judge in this city called Wasit. He came and requested from Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah to write Aqidah. He said to him, "Ya Shaykh, it's a lot of deviations, false creeds, ideologies, people are suffering, and this deviant groups and innovators and deviant sects, they're taking the people away from the creed. I would like for you to write the Aqidah of the Salaf, that every Muslim, the Aqidah Sahiha, the sound creed that every Muslim should be upon." What Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said to that judge? You remember? What he said to him?
The Hadith of Mu'ad.
No. When he requests from him to write a book on Aqidah, what Shaykh al-Islam says?
The many books.
Yeah, Ahsant. He says, "Man, there is no need for me, you know, alhamdulillah. There is so many books are available of the ulama, of the salaf. Imam Ahmad wrote on this and many others. Okay, all you have to do, find those books and take them back home." What the man says? Jazakallah khair and barakallah fiqh. Where can I find these books? Huh? No. What the judge says?
I want
one from you. He persisted. Shaykh Abdul Razak al-Abbad said, "Subhanallah, this man is blessed man." He says, "Some people are blessed. They have blessings. Because of them, people benefit." He said, "Like them, he said, we think and we hope that this man is one of them, this judge from Wasit." He says, because when Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said to him, "Just go, ya akhi, there is no need for me to write to you anything. You're asking about the Aqidah. This is being made clear by the ulama. There is so many material, mashallah. Choose anyone from the great books and the great work of our noble scholars of the past. That's what you need." But this man says, "Jazakallahu khairan, I want one from you." Shaykh, he was persistent with him, persistent until he convinced Shaykh al-Islam. And that's why we benefited from this great book, Al-Wasitiyyah. Because that man persisted. That man could say, "Okay, Jazakallah khair, and sorry to bother you, mashallah, barakallah fiqh." No, he insisted. That's why the idnillah, the Allah's will, now we have that Al-Wasitiyyah, that great book, that we will study one day, inshallah. Okay? And they said that Imam, Shaykh al-Islam, Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he wrote that book between Asr and Maghrib. That's it. From his memory. All those ayats and the ahadith with accuracy. And when he wrote it, they said, Shaykh Abdul Razak al-Abbad, Hafidhahullah, he said he challenged everybody, all of those deviant sects. Challenge them, if you find anything wrong in it, bring it. They couldn't. That shows, that's why they call him Shaykh al-Islam. You think they just give him that title? No, man. He's Shaykh al-Islam for real. And read his books, and read his work, and poetry. If somebody bring him a question in poetry, he writes a book, poetry. The question is in poetry. Allahu Akbar. So the ulama, because al-mukhlisun, the ulama who have ikhlas, okay, they look around. They see what's going on in their areas. If the people need something to, especially the aqidah, the ulama, they're right. Look now, the ulama of Ahlus Sunnah al-Jama'ah. Look, Sheikh Rabi'i explaining this one and many other books of Aqidah. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, Sheikh Ibn Ba'a, Sheikh Al-Albani, Sheikh Ubayd. Ulama of Ahlul Sunnah. They focus on the Aqidah because that's the calamity in our times. You know how many Muslims? By millions. They pray. They say La ilaha illallah. But they commit shirk. Somebody may say, no, how comes? Commit shirk. Such as, yes, they pray Asr, and from Asr they go to some grave and say, Ya Fulan, help me, cure my mother. My wife, she can give only girls, I want boys. This is shirk, ya akhi. Shirk Akbar, major shirk, the ulama, they say. They call upon other than Allah. That's why you find the ulama, they focus on this aqeedah. Because if a person pray tahajjud every night, in a masjid every day, first row, fast every Monday and Thursday and maybe other days, and give sadaqah, hajj, umrah, good manners, good akhlaq, no zina, no alcohol, no cigarettes, no music, good person. But then he goes and he believes that person in a grave, benefits, help. Is that person salat with heaven? Nothing. Haba and manthura. Nothing. Yeah. You see? People, they go wrong. Oh, I want to be like him. Why you want to be like him? Can't be like him. Just because that person made a lot of salat, fasted. No, look at the aqidah, the creed. What is the foundation? What is the foundation? Aynam, barakallah. That's why you find the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they focus on the aqidah. And this is the focus of the prophets and the messengers. The first thing they call the people to is what? Aqidah, ya akhi. La ilaha illallah. Tawheed. No prophet come and tell the people, okay, they are upon shirk. It's okay. Pray. Fast, yalla, fast. Give sadaqah. No, it's not going to be of no benefit for them to give sadaqah and fast and pray and be nice and be kind, but they worship other than Allah. That's why you know the importance of Tawheed and the great danger of shirk. First thing, the ulama. And that's why anybody who follow the ulama, follow their footsteps, has to do this, has to focus on the aqidah. We as parents, we focus on the aqidah of our children. That's what's going to help them when they grow up. We're not going to be around them running all the streets. No, the aqidah will teach them that, look, I cannot be with you. Yes, you can escape me, son, but you cannot escape Allah. You just can't escape Allah's knowledge. Allah sees you, son, you go to your room. I'm with you in the same house. I don't even have no clue what you do in your room. But Allah knows. And that's what matters to you, son, not me. Me, if I'm angry with you, you have to worry about that. But if Allah is angry with you, that's totally different thing, son. We teach our children the aqidah, the creed, that you're a Muslim. You do things to please Allah. You don't do things for others. You stay away from the haram because Allah commanded, not just because you don't do the haram in front of me, and you do it in front of Allah. We teach them the aqidah, the creed. That's going to help them to make the right decisions. Inshallah ta'ala. Okay, question. Why so important? Why the ulama, they give so much importance to this very important subject matter, the aqidah? Well, I mentioned something, but I want to hear from you, inshallah. Even if you repeat what it says, Labas. Naam, Hassan.
The aqidah is sound, the rest of the deeds will be sound.
Ahsan.
If it's corrupt, the rest of the deeds
will be sound. Ayna, wa huwa kadhalik. Al-aqidah hiya al-asas alladhi tubna alayhi jami'u al-a'mal sihhatan wa fasada, qalahu Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahu Allah. The creed, the sound creed, is the foundation that all of the deeds are built upon. If the foundation is sound, the deeds will be sound. If the foundation is weak and corrupt, the deeds will collapse. Okay? Now.
The sound creed is the one that will make us reach the true happiness in this world and the hereafter.
Ahsant. Wa huwa kadhalik. Only through sound creed we can get the true happiness and joy in this life and in the hereafter. Now, the ayah in Surah An-Nahl. من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فالعقيدة عمل صالحا وهو مؤمن إيش الجزاء فلنحيينه حياة طيبة ونزينه. Allah says whoever does righteous deeds, righteous deeds cannot be righteous deeds without إخلاص, can be, huh? And that's عقيدة, إخلاص, إخلاص توحيد. A righteous deed can never be a righteous deed. It may be a righteous deed in the eyes of that person who's doing it, and the eyes of those people who don't know. Oh man, that brother, subhanAllah. Yeah, but with Allah, it may be nothing. Because of the tawheed. وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنْ Iman. That's the aqidah. Have to have sound belief, sound creed. If people are having these conditions, here is the reward. What is it? Allah said, we certainly give him a pure life, life of joy and happiness in this dunya. It's not about how much money you have, man. It's not how much you have in your heart. People have a lot of money, but they can't go to sleep. They have the most expensive mattress on earth. It's not guaranteed that it will come with one good night of sleep. People, they sleep on the floor, brother. The same rag they pray on, that's their bed too. They sleep on it and they snore. They sleep. Because the mind is at ease. Alhamdulillah, I've done what I'm trying my best. I know. Allah said, we certainly, Allah promised that they will get a pure life in this life. Joy, happiness, stability, serenity. And in the hereafter, they have the greatest reward from Allah because of their action in this dunya. What do you want?
Both.
It's not like, look, you can have a good life, but you got nothing in the hereafter. But you're going to go through hardship and everything, and then you get a good life in the hereafter. No, it doesn't work like that. Allah promised both good life in this life and in the hereafter. But this is for who? Those who obey Him. And have the sound aqidah and do righteous deeds. Those who oppose Allah, they have wretched life in this life and hereafter. Right or wrong? If those who die upon shirk and kufr, a'udhu billah, they have a bad life in the hereafter. But what about the dunya? Somebody may say, well, at least they have a good dunya, man. How? Well, look at the houses they have, and the money, and the strength, and the women, and this, and that, and man, they can go anywhere they want, they can go. You think with all that money, and the houses, and luxury, you think they really have a good life? You think they were happy? What is the answer? No way. What is the proof? In Quran. Surah Taha. Allah says, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا. Sheikh Fawzan used this as example. He says, don't be deceived what they have, the fake smiles. Man, they're having fun from a cruise to another cruise. And this, and oh, they got money, healthy, they look this, and money, and luxury, and big mansions. So they have no life but the life of hardship. Says who? The one who created them and gave them their dunya to punish them with it in this life is a punishment for them in this life. Allah says, and whoever turned away from my remembrance, from this Islam, this Quran, the Sunnah, Tawheed, sound creed, the path of the Prophet, the path of the companions, all of this, whoever turned away from this certainly have nothing but a life of hardship in this life. So don't be deceived. Say, look, man, they're having fun. Yeah, right. Don't let that stuff fool you. They having a hardship. Alhamdulillah. Because the real life is the life of the soul, not of the body. The body can be big, strong, muscles, this, wearing the best clothing, eating the best food, sleeping on the best mattress, driving on the best cars, chilling or chillaxing on the best recliners. So what? Where is the soul? But the soul is in agony. The soul is in pain. Yes, they're sitting in the nice cars, nice homes. I don't know what, but eating the best food, big restaurants that me and you can't even go near it. Alhamdulillah for us. And then somebody think like, no, but the soul is in pain, suffering. That's why we have to take care of our souls. One of the ulama, this is a poetry, but from one of the ulama, I forget his name. He says, take good care of your soul. اعتني بنفسك وأكرم وأكمل مكارمها فأنت بالنفس لا بالجسم إنسان. So take good care of your soul. Complete the excellence and the virtues of a soul that can be upon obedience to Allah and upon righteousness. For indeed, that's what you have to take care of the most. Because you are a human being due to your soul, not due to your body. That's why you're a human being. That's what decides a real human being. As for just a body, the animals have a body. Right? The animals are strong. Okay, somebody very strong. Can he get stronger than an elephant or tiger? Can't get the strength of a tiger or elephant. But then, what makes the difference? Soul. Soul, yeah, it has to make the difference. It's like an engine in a truck. Big truck, big, I don't know what. Everything looks good, but the engine is shut. Is that engine going somewhere? That truck going nowhere? Naam, we take good care of our hearts and of our souls. Naam, that's why we study the Aqeedah, because everything is based on the Aqeedah. The Prophet ﷺ, when he sent Mu'ad to Yemen, what did he tell him? Make sure they pray. Make sure they give zakat. Make sure they don't lie. What did he say to him? Prophet ﷺ, this is the advice. Prophet ﷺ is telling him the da'wah is the ulum. They said, this is how da'wah is to be called. His priorities. What the first thing the Prophet ﷺ told him? Sent. Na'am Abdul Rahman? You want to say something?
No.
Tawheed first. Because what the Prophet ﷺ said to Mu'adh?
He said, fear Allah,
wherever
you may be.
No, that's after he said, fear Allah as related to the good of their, the best of their goods or animals. Ahsant. Na'am Muhammad?
I'm calling to Tahrir.
Ahsant. Na'am. أحسنت هو كذلك جزاك الله خير كوتشي وتشي دبرو دبرو جزاك الله خير. He said to him, إنك ستأتي قوما أهل الكتاب. Now the Prophet ﷺ, first he told him who he's dealing with. Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah, he says the da'i, he should know who he's dealing with first. Can't just, because you don't deal with the same people in the same way, same level. Two different ways. Like a doctor, man, this da'wah. Because people have issues. So how you need to know their issues and what they take and how much you give them and when you give it? Like a doctor. Doctor, he knows so many medicine, but, oh, you look like you can get like 3 milligrams. Here you go. No, this, he need to know what's wrong with the person. Likewise, the day. And then the Prophet said to Mu'ad, lead the first thing you call them to, La ilaha illallah. And I am the messenger of Allah. If they obey you, meaning they act upon it, accept and act upon it, then tell them the salat, tawheed comes first, ya ibadallah. Now, so this is very important for us to remember, ya akhwan, barakallahu feekum, the importance of the aqeedah, and we study it, and we review it, and we apply it in our lives. Aynan. And this chapter that we're reviewing, actually, what was it about? The first chapter, who knows? Ahsant. Naam, help your brother. He mentioned something.
About the sifat.
Same thing he says. What about the sifat? Writing them in 100 times each? That's what the chapter was, writing the sifat 100 times each?
The aqidah of Ahl Sunnah.
أحسنت واعتقد أصحاب الحديث في صفة الله. The creed and the belief of the Salaf, أصحاب الحديث, regarding the صفات, attributes of Allah. Who can summarize for me something about this point? What is the belief of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah? The belief of a Salaf, Ahlul Hadith, Ahlul Athar, Al Firqa Al Najiyah, Al Taif Al Mansura, the correct belief that is as regards the Sifat. Naam Ramadan.
As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated as of himself, and as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described him as, without making any kind of alternative explanation of him, which is as the companions understood him, as the Prophet
explained him. Ahsant, na. Akhimir. Review, say it again. What is the belief?
The deen is complete, and whatever Rasulullah said to do us, we do only that. No, nothing addition or no deletion on that. And if there is something, that will be treated as bid'ah.
أحسنت. نعم. نعم. That's two, ما شاء الله. نعم. What else? What is it? What is the belief of أهل السنة والجماعة, السلف, أصحاب الحديث? What is this correct belief regarding the attributes of Allah? The names and the attributes. What is it? نعم, حسن.
We rely on the text.
Ahsant, that's the first thing. When it comes to this, because it's a matter of aqidah. The aqidah, we don't go to traditions, to dreams like Ahlul Bidah, people of innovation do, or what the majority of the people are upon without knowing if it's the truth or not, because the majority are not always upon the haq. We would love that the majority of the people, Muslims, are upon the truth. That would make us very happy. Alhamdulillah. But as Hassan says, when it comes to matters of the creed and aqidah, and I have a text. Istadilla, thumma taqid, as Sheikh ibn Uthaymeen says. Learn the proof, then belief, based on that proof. Proof from the Quran and the sound Sunnah. Naam Hassan, you were going to add something?
Naam, what the brother said, we affirm for Allah, we affirm for Himself, relying on a text, the Quran and Sunnah. Of his name's attributes, without distorting their meaning, likening to the creation, asking how they are, or explaining them away.
Ahsant. Huwa kadhalik. Who can repeat this definition? Excellent. Jazakallah khair. Naam. Muhammad.
Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah believe in a sifat what comes from the Quran and Sahih Sunnah, and when going either way to try to understand how they look like.
Ahsant.
We approve.
Without likening them to those of the creation.
Yes.
Ahsant. Naam. Mahmoud.
We believe in the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the Quran and Sunnah.
Naam. Ahsant. Naam. Huwa kadhalik. Briefly, when it comes to this very important matter of aqidah, and that's why the Shaykh, he brought it here, it's very important. This is the first chapter. And that when it comes to the attributes of Allah, because there is a lot of deviant groups, people who deviated as related to the attributes of Allah. And we cannot be deviated because our deen is complete. There is no way we're going to be lost, especially in this one. There's no way we be lost. A Muslim cannot be lost in aqidah. Because the aqidah is preserved and protected. You can't be lost in aqidah, in ibadat. Can't. Muslim cannot be lost. Because we have guidance. We have that which the Salaf were upon. Just have to learn. And don't follow the the people just because they are our people or our families, our tribe. That's what really get people in trouble. Cannot get out of that. That's my tribe. Okay, I gotta be with them. Now you can be with them on something else. Eat their food, it's okay. If you choose to eat only the food of your tribe, it's okay. No problem. You don't like other people's food, the way they cook the chicken, it's okay. Eat what your people eat, as long as it's halal. But when we come on aqidah, don't tell me my people's aqidah. There'll be one aqidah. Aqidah of the Salaf. That's it. You ain't gonna tell me, no, you stick to your people. Look, see the food, you eat your food, people. No, that food is okay. You want to speak your people dialect, it's okay. But when it comes to the aqidah, don't tell me my tribe versus your tribe, there is only one aqidah. Is only one thing, truth versus falsehood. That's it. Ain't no mine versus yours. You can do it your way, we do it our way. Walhamdulillah, Allah ghafur rahim. Yeah, but they forget that Allah is severe in punishment. It's very important, ya akhwan. So it's very important that when it comes to the aqidah and the belief in the attributes of Allah, that we follow the belief of a Salaf, the aqidah of the Salaf, and their stance as related to this matter. We affirm for Allah what He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, has affirmed for Himself in His book, Al-Qur'an, such as, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. And we affirm for Allah that which His Prophet, our noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, affirmed for Him in the Sunnah. Without likening those attributes of Allah to those of the creation, so we don't say, yes, Allah has a hand like our hand, that's wrong. And without asking how, we don't say, how is the hand, that's wrong. That's from the correct aqidah. Without distorting the meaning, changing it, yes, Allah has hand, but doesn't mean the hand, it means the power, like the Mu'tazila and others. And without denying them at all, like the Jahmiyya do. They deny the attributes of Allah. Allah has no attributes. They say Allah has no attributes. They, like one of the Salaf, he said to them, what do you mean? You worship a God who has no names, no attributes? You worship nobody then. And one of the ulama, he asked one of the Jahmiyya, he said to him, it's like someone who says, like the Jahmiyya, when they say they worship a God that has no names, no attributes. He says it's like someone who says he has a palm tree in his house. And then they ask him, does he have a trunk? No. Does he have stalks? No. Does he have
the branches
or those leaves? No. Does he produce fruit? No. He says, you have no tree, man. You have no palm tree in your house. You have no palm tree in your house, man. You can have. It's like someone, I have a car in my driveway. Got wheels? No. Tires? No. Your body? No. Engine, transmission, no. Lights, nothing. You got no car, brother. It's illusion. You got nothing in there. Nothing. What a car is this? There is no body, no engine, no tires, nothing. What is nothing? So it's very important for us to remember this. Why we learn this? Because there is this ideology, this falsehood is being spread. Being spread in so many ways. There is those you have to fight against so many ways. There are those who says, no, there is no attributes. So what are you going to do now? There is those who they say, no, those guys are wrong. No, we're not with them. Yes, there is attributes. But they just like our attributes. See? So how are you going to understand this one? Or those who they say, no. Those guys, they're both wrong. Listen to us. We affirm attributes. But they don't look like ours. But instead of the hand, mean the hand, it means the power. So what are you going to do with all of this mixed? You want to go to the market, buy some gold. And everybody claims they got a 24 karat gold. If you're not a man who knows what gold looks like, the real one, who are you going to go with? You're going to flip the coin? Or the one who really give you a good deal? Now you need to know what the gold look like. Likewise, we need to learn the aqidah of the Salaf. We need to learn this aqidah and teach it to our children. So that when we are faced with the false creeds, it's clear to us, man, take that trash away from me, man. I'm not here for that falsehood. Not only that, you don't be affected, but also better than that, try your best to help the people. That's what the ulama are doing. You think the ulama, they learn this aqidah just so they don't be affected? No, look what they're doing. Here is the proof. This man died hundreds of years ago. We still benefit from his work, rahimahullah. And that's good for him and good for everybody. So that's why I choose the akhwan to review this chapter before we go to the next chapter. That's the importance of us reading this book. Okay, that's the importance of us reading this book. Not just for the sake that we finish the book and we move to another book. No, we finish the chapter, let us see what we get from that chapter. What the chapter was about. If I ask a question, what the chapter was about, I don't know. What is the benefit? You think this is entertainment? You think we come in here for entertainment? Hasha ya akhi, we're here to learn. This is Salafiyya. This is the Sunnah. We're here to learn. We have to come ready. People, man, when they go on and learn some math or physics or whatever it is, language, art, because they know they're going to be tested in the end of the trimester or semester, they pay attention because they want to pass. They want to get that degree. Well, guess what? This dunya is a test, man. Are we passing or are we failing? What? And this is what's going to help us. Hada huwa zad. This is the provision we need. Knowledge. That's going to help us because we're human. Alhamdulillah, we got shortcomings, we got deficiencies, we got issues, ignorance. This is what's going to help us. We learn and we try our best to apply and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for all of us. وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا